Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
It is my honor to start the ordination service, and I'd like to start by telling you what ordination actually is. To be ordained, someone asked me, like, well, can Nikki now start marrying people and doing funerals? And that's when you get licensed as a pastor, then you can start doing them. Ordination's a little different. Ordination is essentially the church recognizing that their pastor is really their pastor. And ordination is that you can see the Christ in this woman, that you can see the kingdom of God, and that she has a healthy practice, and that her risks bear much fruit, and that she hopes well, and she invites other people to take risks, invite other people to have hope, and other people to live with purpose, and other people to do the good and beautiful things. And over the last 15 years, now it should not be, or 16 years, it shouldn't take that long, right? That's not our what we want. But ordination is meant to take some time to see it tested, to see the beautiful things and also see the hard things as well. And so what's going to be happening today is not just an isolated experience just for Nicole. It is something that we get to participate as well, because as she has pastored and as you're going to hear, it's not just about some three great stories from some friends. It's about what God has done and maybe what God is doing now and what God will continue to do. So my invitation to you is this: be present, laugh, maybe cry, right? I probably will as well, right? And enjoy it and see and receive the Christ in and through this beautiful woman. I'm introducing our good friend, Lori Johnson.
Well, hello. Sorry about the frog in my throat. I'm really excited to come up here today, and I'm going to be kind of emceeing and introducing you all to these three magnificent ladies that Nikki has handpicked to come share and speak in this very special day. It seems very natural to ask mom, dad, kids, husbands, aunts, uncles, special people in her life that she has grown up with her whole life to talk about Nikki and all the beautiful things they've seen in her over the years of growing as a pastor. But we thought it would be very special for Nikki to, like I said, handpick a couple of people who have really encouraged her, loved her, spoke into her life over the years as she has been pursuing ministry. With that being said, I'm going to introduce the very first person that she wants to share about her. And she has known Jordan Sundberg. Why don't you come on up, Jordan? There's a mic right behind Isabel. She has known Jordan for probably about 15 years. And they met through working together at a church in Duluth and doing ministry alongside each other over the years. One thing that Nikki absolutely loves about you, Jordan, is your speaking. You are by far one of Nikki's favorite speakers. She said of all the pastors and podcasts and people she has heard, she absolutely loves the way that you just lay down the word and you talk about God and you make him very fluid in your life. And you have really inspired Nikki to want to press more into so many different areas in her life and speaking publicly and just loving on Jesus. So without further ado, here's Miss Jordan Sundberg, one of Nikki's favorite people.
Well, I am so very excited to celebrate you today, Nikki. Like Lori said, I have known Nikki, I think, for officially 15 years and knew about her even before that. And I have had the pleasure of seeing who Nikki is, things she likes, doesn't like, interests, loves, dislikes. She's really, like, there's some really fun, quirky things about Nikki. You've probably seen some videos of her in a T-Rex costume. Nikki is a gem. And not only have I seen who she is, but I have seen the way that she spends her life, the way that she actually lives out who she is. And if I had to boil it down for you, if you wanted to know how I would describe the heart of Nicole Elizabeth Sauter, I would say a few things. First, I would say she is undoubtedly wise. She is one of the most clear-thinking, expertly reflective, gets to the bottom of truth people that I know. She's an honesty speaker. If you go on a walk with Nikki, You will be asked wise questions that point you to wisdom. She is wise. Nikki is tough, and I mean this in a lot of ways. This woman works really hard. She's got a thing in her that can mind over matter and persevere when things get tough. She will wallop 90% of us in a push-up contest. It's true. She is unafraid to exert strength and make things happen. Actually, when I wrote that earlier, I thought she should have a dump truck or something. She should just have some machinery. She would use that well. And I've known this about you. I think I could smell it in you in the first days that I knew. I just knew that this woman was strong. And lastly, Nikki, you are humble. And this is so beautiful about you because it is so rare when there is a wise and strong person who also gets low and bears fault and is vulnerable and owns your weakness, which you do, and doesn't grasp for accolades or image. And in fact, I bet you're going to see this today in her, because while we're celebrating something that is so good and right and wonderful, I think there's probably something in Nikki that thinks this is silly, because she simply wants to do the good work that she knows she is made to do. And it's not for recognition or title, but because she's just living out the beautiful way that she knows that God has made her to live. And we see it, and it is right, and it is good. And as I've seen the deeper journey that Nikki has been traveling, I've seen buried things emerge and come to life. I've seen things dismantle and die. And I've seen a freedom in her more and more to simply be herself and to do what she's built to do, which is, as Chris was saying, it's the divine life emerging out of you, Nikki. We're seeing it shine. And that's part of what we're celebrating today. She's wise and she's strong and she's humble. So Nikki, we celebrate you. We see who you are and we love it. And we are so proud and honored to officially call you our pastor.
Thank you, Jordan. The very next person that is going to be sharing today is Melissa Hendricks. And Nikki got to know this beautiful woman, Melissa, a handful of years ago when Chris and Nikki had the desire to plant this church here in Cloquet. And Melissa and her husband, they have been here from the beginning. And Melissa is someone who has very much encouraged Nikki over the last couple of years of pressing into a topic that is, I think, often overlooked in our society. And that would be just like whiteness and equality and what that looks like. And Nikki's heart over the years has really, she's just dug into Melissa and asked so many questions of what does it look like to be in a community of that where we all look the same. And Melissa's been really able to challenge her and grow her. And for that, Nikki just totally looks up to you, Melissa. Of just really helping Nikki ask some really hard questions. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you guys to Melissa, and she's going to share today.
So I haven't had the pleasure of knowing Nikki as long as many of you have, but I'm super excited to be a part of sharing today. She has become a close, trusted mentor, advisor, shepherd, and friend to me. Every time I walk away from a conversation, I know that I have been seen, I've been heard, and that she has loved me deeply. And I know that that is something that many people in this room and in her life have experienced. I have watched as she has wrestled through hard things. She's taken risks, and I've gotten to hear time and time and time again how that has challenged her, and it has grown her, and it has pressed her closer to the heart of God. And each time I walk away from one of those conversations, I get to think, I can't believe that I get to be a part of this, that I get to watch my friend grow and see the heart of God within her. And it's a holy work It's a beautiful thing, and it's heaven. It's heaven right here. So for those of you who know me, you know I'm a book person. So it wouldn't be right for me to come up here and share without having something to read. A number of years ago, before we came to the church, I was challenged by this passage. It's from Jen Hatmaker's For the Love. Yeah, it just moved me and pressed me into a new place, and so I felt like it was super appropriate for me to be able to share at my friend's ordination. So I will just read from that. We are such a blessed generation. We do not have to choose between gentleness and authority. Attention fought in secular feminism. We can have both. We get the victories of past generations, plus the hope of our own. We can provide hospitality and declare the word of God. Nurture our households and embrace our gifts. Set the table for communion and the table for theology. I am so grateful my daughters see leading, courageous women. They won't battle a less than status or suffocate their gifts. They will just run. Sister, come near and listen. You are smart and capable, strong and wise. You are an overcomer, a prized member of the body of Christ. You have so much to offer. You can gather your girlfriend tribe and raise kids together, providing the happiest childhood they ever complained about. You can crack open your Bible and preach good news to the poor. You can model faithful friendship around your table. You can stretch your hands across oceans to mamas everywhere. You can do small things. You can do big work. You are so able in Jesus, so beloved, so permitted. If anyone has made you feel invisible or less than, write a new narrative on your heart. The Bible was used to subjugate women for centuries, but the New Testament reveals women leading the church, prophesying, teaching, and co-laboring with men. Let us flourish under Paul's instruction. Do your best, present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. You are approved. You are a worker. You have no need to be ashamed. You are a truth teller. I'm not done. I knew that was going to happen when I flipped the page. Oh. You are a sanctioned, honorable operative in the splendid task of loving God and people. You have a role. Your place is secure. If not you, who? Who else will deliver hope to your people? Who else will embrace the weary and lonely? Who else will teach the good word and claim its promises? Who else will laugh at the days to come with courage? Who else will raise your children in strength? Who else will take responsibility for your people and your place? You will, and we will together.
Thank you, Melissa. That was beautiful. We appreciate you sharing that.
I'll take this.
And this is Miss Isabel. Nikki has known Isabel for many years. I remember when Isabel was in the youth group, when Chris and Nikki were leading at Duluth Vineyard, and Nikki was carrying a sweet little child in her belly. And Nikki would say to me, this girl in the youth group, she would just come up and just, she wouldn't ask, but she would just touch my belly. And she would not only just touch my belly, but she would rub my belly. And as one of Nikki's friends, I'm like, dude, I gotta meet this girl. So from day one, Isabel has not really asked permission into Nikki's life, but she has just entered in. And Nikki and Chris have loved this, who used to be a girl, is now a beautiful young woman. And Nikki loves you so dear. And she loves how you love on her kids and her household. So, Nikki, I think Isabel has some fun stuff for you.
Oh gosh, no pressure. That was really nice. Thank you, Nikki. So my name is Isabel. My name is actually Reverend Isabel Lacasse. I am ordained as well. And I tried to tell Nikki that she could just do it for $7 online like I did, but she just wanted to go the 16 years and like all the work route. But I mean, whatever. We have the same title, so. All right, so you guys don't know me, but I have known Nikki since youth group. She's really awesome. And like I said, or like she said, I am kind of aggressive and in their family, and I love them. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. But first, I want to talk about this thing, the theory of character versus personality. Have you guys heard of this before? I might have made it up, and I can't remember if I read it or like truly, I think I made this up. So this is my theory. So around 1900, at the turn of the century, collective people started caring less about a person's character, like showing up on time, paying your debts, being an honest person, being kind, humble, those kind of things. And it started to be more important that your personality was like really cool. So you were super funny, you hosted great parties, like things like that. And I bet you now, if you guys thought about it, there's not a whole lot of people that you know that are just wells of deep character. It's a lot of like, that girl's really fun, that guy is so funny, things like that. So keep that in mind, that character is valued a little bit less nowadays, but I think that there are still some people of great character in our midst, and Nikki is one of them. So I'm going to tell a little story. I think the biggest mistake you ever made, Nikki, and I have the right to say this, apparently, is that you gave me your address, and so I would stop by your house randomly, like unannounced in the middle of the day on like a Tuesday, and just thought it was totally acceptable to just show up. And it was always like, well, I'm in the neighborhood. And then the thing is, though, is we live in the same neighborhood. So it really wasn't fair to her. And now I realize how inconvenient that would be. My frontal lobe is fully developed now as a 26-year-old, and I see that my actions have consequences to other people. But inconvenient or not, she welcomed me, ushered me in. Her kids would be like doing something crazy, and she'd like yell at them, but I loved it. And then she'd like give me tea, and we'd talk, and she'd be a wise, sage old lady in my mind. Sorry. You're not old. Okay, so never, ever have I felt so at home in someone else's home as I do when I'm with you, Nikki, at your house. It is messy and beautiful, and I feel so safe when I'm there. And I think 18-year-old me knew that I needed that, whether it was unannounced or not. I'm gonna cry. Nikki has this like gravitational pull. I don't know if you've ever felt the gravity of her when she walks in the room, but it's really cool. And you're not really sure why you want to be around her, why she stands out among a lot of people, but I really think it's her great character. And I think that character comes from a deep well of loving Jesus and being loved by Jesus. So we notice you, Nikki. We notice your character. We notice your pull. You may not be like the most popular girl in school. You may not have the cutest boyfriend, obviously. Oh, yeah. I hope I'm welcome back after this, to be honest. But Nikki, you are humble and kind and warm. And you are really beautiful and funny and awesome, but those are the things that are like secondary characteristics to me. I just feel like your character is what has drawn me to you over these last, whatever, 10 years. So I want to celebrate you today, and I just hope you guys know, and I'm sure you do, how lucky you are to have her as a pastor here. I think whenever you have a leader of great character in front of you, we all become a little bit more like that person. And she's like that because Jesus is like that. So it's not just about her, it's about Jesus, and I think that I want to make that point land, is that we're here because we love Jesus, and she's as amazing as she is because she loves Jesus and is loved by him. So usher people into your lives. Let them inconvenience you, as I did. Our God is not a God of convenience. He is a God of great character. And that will never make you the coolest girl in the room, but it will drive teenagers to your house.
Thank you, Isabel. We just love you and love your heart for Nikki. And I do gotta tell you, Nikki used to wear a pin of her boyfriend on her backpack at UWS. That's how I met this girl. She had this pin on her backpack. I'm like, who's the boy carrying a basketball? It was her boyfriend. She was pretty proud. Anyways, we're gonna invite Nikki. Why don't you come on up and share? And yeah.
How do you follow all that? I love you, ladies. Thank you for speaking all those deep, truthful things. And it's true. This really, the whole process of this, Chris has been saying you should get ordained for a long time. I'm like, I'm already doing the work. I don't need a special thing. But what it ended up doing for me, even in the process, thanks, honey, for pushing me in this direction, is it had me start thinking about what ordination actually is and had me think through the work that I want, that I've done, but that I want to continue to do. And I knew I was going to feel a little like emotional ups and downs, so I might be doing a little bit of reading here on this. But some of the things that ordination means to me is that, first of all, it's following Jesus and leading other people in that can be surprisingly simple. It's that whole work of pointing in and pointing out and pointing up and saying, do you see God there? That's why sometimes this job of being a pastor feels like, this is really simple. Like, do you see God? Do you hear God? Like, God is in you. God is around us. So oftentimes it can feel incredibly simple. And then what do we do with that? It's also honoring work. It's incredibly honoring to be able to stand with somebody, to baptize them, to witness the new life that's flourishing inside of them. It's honoring to dedicate children and to walk with parents as they raise their children and to lay hands on others when they need healing, when they need comfort. It can also be incredibly grieving, because oftentimes as a pastor you end up being a container for people's grief and for their loss and for their pain. And while you want to allow people to have their own pain, some of that rubs off on you and you end up carrying things that are hard and deep and very intimate with other people for a long time. And so figuring out, how do you carry that with God and allowing people to have that journey at the same time? But it can be incredibly grieving, but there's also honor in that. We hear confessions and commitments, and we speak and honor vows of marriage over people. I get to preach the good news of the kingdom of God to all people. And this is also mystical work. It's calling out to the divine, the God that we don't see, right, with our eyes. Sometimes that whole thing seems so mystical. Even answering the question, what is divine? What does God look like? How do we talk to God? And it's the job of leading other people into that mystical and that divine place. And it's also confronting work. It's submission and surrender to timeless truths at the same time of being very curious and questioning everything. And this is oftentimes why pastors might seem a little crazy, because they love those deep truths, but at the same time, it is our job to question things and to see what's happening in the world around us and to grow with the world at the same time of being rooted with the world and seeing what God is doing in that. So it calls out the sense in us to confront things while we are loving at the same time. And it's our practice that we don't exclude or reject the flourishing of all creation. We want to see people living out the resurrected life that we see in Jesus. That Jesus didn't stay dead, he came alive, and we're walking through that together. It means choosing to confront the bias and the hatred that we often see towards God's beloved creation. And the first place to confront it isn't out anywhere else. It's first in me. I have to confront that bias and that hatred that I have inside of my own self. And that sometimes is a thing that can hold us up, because oftentimes it might be easier for me to blame everybody else for why things are hard or why things are tough in the world, instead of going, I need to start on the inside first. I want to live a new truth, the thing that God is doing in rebirthing in me. So the thing I want to share with you all is, this past year I've really been experimenting and reading through lots of prayers and poetry, because I was very curious about how are people talking to God. When we find the hard and deep things that we're in the world currently, and we're reading the newspaper and we're aware of all the things, and even with social media being able to hear everybody's opinions about what's going on in the world, I'm finding that there was a pull for me to dig into what are some of the things people are praying and writing, and how can I focus on what God is really doing and saying. And I really want to lean into God's voice and hear what he has to say. I want to trust what God is doing. I want to believe that God's voice is and always has been big and strong and powerful and soft and tender. And so while I am really honored to receive ordination to be a part of that, there is also a sad part in me that there are so many people who are hearing the voice of God to do things that oftentimes the church says, you can't do that here and you can't be that here. And so I found that as kind of like the push and pull over the last few weeks, as I've been excited about being ordained, is also feeling some of the grief of people who, even like when I was a small child and I didn't see as many women standing up and preaching and teaching, that there are people today that don't often see a representation of who they are preaching the gospel. And so at the same time, I want to see that happen for people. The people who hear God's voice that says, you are supposed to speak the kingdom of God to others, that there's place for them, that there isn't any person that's in their way saying that they can't do that. No one is telling them this is not for you, that they can actually hear the voice of God and trust that, and trust the community of the church. So one of the prayers that's really resonated with me these past few months that I've gone back and forth is out of a book of prayer. The whole book is called The Honoring Voice. And the author is a gal named Pixie Lighthorse. And one of the things that she wrote about this book was that she wanted to give voice to the many things that we all long for, or that we fear, or that we hope, or that we have courage for. And so this prayer is called Honoring Risk. And this is one that I've reflected back over and over again. I really feel like it speaks to the things that often I'm thinking about, but comes about in such a beautiful way. This is called Honoring Risk. So thank you for this perfect day for taking chances. Bless the heart which steps into the tunnel of alternative channels of thinking. Help me to understand that keeping quiet... keeps me small. Guide me to compose my ideas and my thoughts without worry about who will respond and how. Help me open to the rejection or the neutrality that may come from expressing my initial ideas and feelings. Show me the real hazards, but keep me from making up artificial ones that prevent me from moving forward. Help me gather the thoughts that come from my heart. Support me as I face the unknown. Strengthen my relationship to uncertainty by making your pyramid my foundation. Remind me that I am like those who have gone before me, stepping out of my comfort zone in order to engage possibility. Redirect my fears and place my feet on the path in front of me. Give me a nudge when I need it. Help me to be a bold example to others who look to me to lead with faith. Would you spread my arms wide and open my heart wider and let me find out for myself? Grow my opinions for speaking from love and help the healing medicine that rises to meet my voice. Remind me that there are no healing reasons to protect those who have done harm. Help me to understand and say the things that no one can say for me. And let me remember that my admissions of what is true are as important to my own ears as they are to anyone who will listen. I am ready to pioneer a new way for myself. Pave my road with clarity and trust. Mark this trail with feathers and tracks for exploring all avenues of curiosity. And may my continuous efforts fortify my habit of speaking up for myself. May my vow to try as many times as necessary reveal the promise of my freedom. And may my mistakes be my teachers. Help me reframe those things I wish to have said more clearly and truthfully. Let me grant myself second and third opportunities. Encourage me to stick my neck out, not onto the chopping block, but to stretch myself to beautiful lengths in order to greet what is ahead. So this is something I have prayed over and over again, and I get caught up every time I read it. This is a pretty vulnerable space for me to share with you. But every time I read it, I felt like it was the thing that I want to pray and say over myself as I step forward, as I continue the work that God has called for me to do. So thank you. Thank you for being my church. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for being on this journey with us. I really love all of you. That's all I have to say on that. So Chris, why don't you come on up here? I'm not sure what the transition is next. I need a Kleenex.
All right, we're going to have you stand on the weird little red thing up here. This is not part of like some sacred ceremony. We just happen to have a red carpet. But we're going to pray for her. We're going to pray for Nikki. Do you guys want to join me as well? We say this often, but the reason that we lay hands on people is as a sign of that we are never alone, and it takes many hands to bless, takes many hands and bodies to partner. So please join me as we pray. So Holy Spirit, will you come? And I thank you for the way that you have made this woman to not be quiet and stay small. But you have created her to do big, hard, and beautiful things. So we say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that she is our pastor, she is my pastor, and that she will continue to lead and inspire.
Hello. And Father, we thank you for the seeds that have been planted in Nikki's heart from when she was a wee little girl. Of loving you and loving others. I thank you for the tongue that you have given Nikki to speak boldly, to share with others when it seemed difficult. I thank you for the eyes that you have given her to see. And I thank you for the courage that you have planted deep into who she has been since she was in the belly of her mom. The courage to fully be your daughter and to walk in your truth.
And Jesus, the deep, deep stuff that you are cultivating still, God, would you just pour on it? And I too just pray for your voice, Nikki, that there are words being formed, that
He would speak clearly. He would use your wisdom and your strength. God, would you make space for it? To let it come.
God, I really love Nikki as an example. It's really cool because she is a mom and a wife and also 100% her own person. And I don't know if I've ever seen such an example of someone who is not defined by anything else. You're not enveloped in taking care of your family all the time, always. It is just this like identity thing that I don't know how to describe, but it's like you are Nikki, and you are not like, you are not small, you are not a tiny part of a group, you are big and strong, and I just really like it. It's so cool, and it is, I don't know if there's another example besides my mom of such a strong woman that I know. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing this woman into my life, letting me shove into her house, and her welcoming me. Keep that up.
Lord, I thank you for my sister friend. And I thank you for the example she is to me and so many others. And Lord, we just stand with her today and going forward. We say yes.
I also just want to pray. I feel like there's just something very special, Nikki, about the way that the girls in our church and in your community are going to watch you. And I was just thinking about my own daughters. And God, would you unroll whatever that is, whatever influence and legacy in a way that your strength, your bravery, your leadership, your authority will pave a way.
So we set Nikki apart for the kingdom. And as I said earlier, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ordain Nikki. Amen. So, Cloquet Vineyard. Cloquet Vineyard, I present to you your pastor. So you can stay standing. You can stay standing. We wanted to get you a gift. And the gift, wait, don't look over there. Don't look over there. The gift, look at me. It's not Tyrannosaurus Rex, no. The gift that we wanted to get you was something, and it came from everyone. There was dozens and dozens of people who contributed money that every time that you are around it, any time that you are near it, that you can think of the beauty, you can think of this community that loves you and supports you. And so what we got you was your mom's bike. That's right, look right there. It literally is your mom's bike. You're welcome. Yay. Just hold it. Isn't that generous, right? What we did is You're going to write around this edge. No, here. What we took, you don't need to open it unless you really want to, but people contributing money so that you could go and get that bike that you've always wanted, so that you can ride it and pursue your fun, your health, your purpose, and your beauty, and your love. So Nikki requested that we have sheet cake, so we have some cake in the back and coffee. Stay as long as you want, and thank you again for coming to the service.